Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome in to another CTH podcast where we talk Astros baseball while we're watching the Rockets hopefully kick the Timberwolves' butt.
Go Rockets.
Yeah, the Rockets are up 3-1 in the series, and they are now tied 4-4 with 5 minutes in the first quarter. And we're talking off air, and you said that you're hoping that they have another third quarter like that.
Or at least,
and I'm like, no, that's a once-in-a-lifetime thing.
Oh, I didn't even finish. Like my original thought was, okay, sometimes what I think and what I actually say don't correlate well. But it's like, I hope they have the same intensity in that third quarter that they need to have tonight. Just close the series out, rest some guys up, and get don't screw this up.
Right. Yeah. The Timberwolves shouldn't be putting up such a fight. And the Rockets, maybe they had to lose that one game to kind of be like, oh crap, we need to kind of ship up, or we're going to be shipped out. And,
oh, look, we're mortal.
And that's what I think happened to the Astros last year in August. They had a hard dose of reality when they started losing games, and they're like, oh crap, what are we going to do? Oh, let's go get Justin Verlander at the last second. Oh,
ching.
Yeah. So, anyway, you're listening to the CTH podcast. My name is Eric Heisman. You can find me on Twitter at Eric_CTH. And you can find the CTH podcast at CTH_podcast.
I believe so, yes.
Yes. So, who are you?
My name is Cody. And you can find me at Cody_CTH. I have good opinions and bad opinions. Oh, well, that's my Twitter handle. Enter at your own risk. But anyway, it was quite wonderful to see the Astros actually win a game today after, you know, dropping the first two of the series against the Angels. You know, kind of a key.
That first game, I think, was a little bit of fluke. Skaggs was just making him look like he was Clayton Kershaw out there or Chris Sale. And he just – the Astros sometimes – it's not the Chris Sales or the Kershaws they struggle with. It's the no name. I know he's got a name and he's – people know who Tyler Skaggs is, but he's just the type of lefty that the Astros just struggle with. And you could pull up his career records versus Houston, but I guarantee he's probably pitched pretty well against us. But who cares? At yesterday's game, I did say to my friend, I hope the Angels aren't becoming the 2015 Rangers for the Astros, where they are kryptonite. No, 2016, sorry.
Yeah. 2015, 2016, kind of ran together.
But yeah, but mostly in 2016 when we lost all those games to Rangers. But now, I want to say sorry to Rangers fans. You lost again another player in Adrian Beltre, and I know Adore is out. Y'all lost Andrews, and the list goes on, and that's why it's so much better to be an Astros fan. So if you'd like to become an Astros fan, we are accepting applications at Climbing Castle Hill, you can send the paycheck to at Eric Heisman, and I'll go take all the money. And
say what?
Anyway, the Astros, game two, that felt like game five of the World Series for a while there. I mean, not the same intensity, but they're going back and forth. Yeah. We take the lead, then they take the lead back.
Punch in the groin numerous times.
Yeah, so what did I didn't really look because I didn't want to look, but what did Smith end up doing?
Oh, yes. Oh, good old Joe Smith. Good old Joe Smith.
Four runs.
Three hits and four runs in like one inning. It was lovely. It was lovely.
He did have two strikeouts. That's a positive.
Yeah, I suppose. But yeah, it's like he only threw, let's see what we got. He only threw 19 pitches. 13 were strikes if you're looking at the silver linings. But yes, he gave up four runs. One home run. It was not exactly a good Joe Smith day.
I'm not exactly impressed so far, and I know it's early in the season, yada yada, but he just hasn't impressed me. I know he had a great year last year, but the way he throws, I know it's supposed to be his thing, but it doesn't seem to be working this year.
Yeah, it's one of those things, and let's be honest, he's not really known as a shutdown reliever type of guy. Yeah, he did have a so he split. He's been with quite a few teams lately. So if you go back all the way to 20, well, he's been with a lot of teams. If you go back,
he's like Valbuena.
Yeah, he's like Valbuena. If you go back to 2015, he was with the Angels. Surprisingly, he's a guy that will have a mid-3 ERA. He did have one exception with about 16 games with the Cubs in 2016. Where he had like a 2.5 ERA, 16 appearances, but like last year, 3.33 ERA and 59 appearances. He's historically been a solid pitcher, but of course, relief pitchers kind of have a not common, especially even if it's a really good one, to see kind of a off season or two. Relievers are kind of like. There's a lot of variance with them from year to year. It's kind of hard to kind of
Dr. pimp. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Exactly.
That's what we've seen with Tony Sipp. Mm-hmm. And this year, oh, by the way, Brad Peacock pitched, I think he pitched well, right? Or he at least pitched well in that few innings.
Yeah, yesterday he pitched 2 innings, had 2 strikeouts, 0 hits.
Yeah.
He looked quite good.
Yeah.
And I was
expecting 6 strikeouts, though, but I guess I'll take 2.
No, 2's fine. 2's fine. 2 needs to work.
Harris is looking great.
Yeah.
Giles. And I don't know if people are talking about this, but I know it was a close game the night before on, Tuesday night?
Mm-hmm.
When Ohtani pitched.
Yeah.
They did bring him in trailing by 1 in the 8th inning or 9th inning, whatever it was, and... So he did pitch well in that game. I think it was the 9th inning, yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that was kind of setting him up for today.
Mm-hmm.
And now he came in and got the save. And so, I mean, I didn't get to watch a lot of the game. I did hear about the homer, and I did see the GIF of or just the video of what they did to him in the dugout, where they I think Reddick gave him a high five or something, and then Bregman totally ignored him.
Mm-hmm.
And then Verlander and him kind of did a fist pump or something.
Yeah.
And then everybody else ignored him. And so he's like, okay, I'll have fun. And he walked up doing like this motion, and got all the way in dugout, and he's like, still nothing?
No.
And he threw his gloves down, and then Gurriel finally said, nah.
Oh, yeah, you at least got to come in.
Yeah.
But like, oh, yeah, if anybody wants to give Ken Giles a hard time lately, though, he's only – okay, consider this. He's only given up 2 runs all season. He has not given up a run since April 6th. And this month, hitters have a 143 batting average. He's in 94 total pitches, 70 are strike, pretty good percentage. Now, sure, he doesn't have that many strikeouts. He only has
so that could be a good thing.
He may be pitching more the way like I'd rather see a bunch of zeros than see Ken Giles 1 inning or.
Strikeout side, but he gives up 2 homers.
Yeah, exactly. I'd rather much see lower strikeout totals and more zeros across the board. But like, yeah, he has only 3 strikeouts this month in about 8 innings. How many total batters has he faced? Does it tell me that here? No, unfortunately, it does not. I have to do more digging. But anyway, yeah, 8 innings, 4 hits, 1 run, and 3 strikeouts in this entire month of April. So that's encouraging. That's really encouraging.
Yeah. And before we go too much into today's game, I wanted to talk a little bit about yesterday's game. Mm-hmm. It was the Astros basically gave that one away. It was charity. The way they made the base running mistake, Springer made that mistake, mm-hmm. and then what was the other one? Marwin Gonzalez drove in, I think it was McCann or somebody, but then they rounded second base, and then they threw out Marwin. So, and there's just some pitches that, the umpire kept on calling a high strike up and into Altuve. And it was just a weird game. And then you had, Smith come in and give up 4 runs.
Well, and then like that one at bat, Springer like smoked the ball.
Right.
Cozart got it. I was like, dang you, Cozart.
Yeah, it just like it was a weird game, and I think the Astros kind of gave that one away with their face ringing mistakes. And the umpire, I know we're not supposed to say, the umpires, they're not perfect. We're not supposed to criticize them too much, but those were some mistakes. I can tell from standing behind Altuve, if somebody backs up like that, that means it's coming up at them.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, all I have to say is robo umps. But anyway, it was one of those games. I was like, all right, the ump is clearly okay. This is kind of game five esque. You know, the umpire is not calling good calls. Like, it was just a weird game. It was, you know, I will say, I remember all this talk in spring training, like, oh, Brian McCann can't hit anymore. Well, yeah, he's hitting. Well,
okay, guys, we want to hear your thoughts, and we would like actual phone call. It would be nice to talk to other people besides Cody. He gets kind of boring every once in a while. But
don't get me wrong. We love the sound of our voices, but we'd much rather hear some other voices, too.
Right. So, guys, if you want to call in, it's 347-850-8823. I repeat, 347-850-8823, and we can take your phone call. And we will not hang up on you unless you say something stupid, then we'll probably hang up on you.
No blasphemous talk about Jose Altuve. Not be tolerated. No slander about Josh Reich would not be tolerated. Yeah. And just looking at here real quick, when did Andrelton Simmons become a hitter?
Well, last year.
Yeah,
and I actually drafted him in the league, and I dropped him last night for Josh Bell because I regretted dropping Josh Bell because I'm like, he's going to come back and hit 30 homers, and I'm going to regret. So I have Swanson and I have Simmons, so let me go ahead and do that. So, but what were we talking about before the phone promo?
We're just talking about we were mentioning Brian McCann hitting.
Oh yeah, yeah, okay, yeah. So here's where I want to caution you. Homeboy did this last year.
Mm-hmm.
He had a great start to the season.
Great first half, yeah.
And I'm like, oh yeah, he definitely needs to be the all-star starter over Saldivar Perez. I think I wrote about it, and then all of a sudden he just died down, calmed down. And so I did get clarification about the, or did we do it on air? I'm not sure about Dan McCann's contract.
Oh, I think
yes, because I did read it. He is it's a vesting option if he gets 1,000 plate appearances between 2018 and 2017, 2018. That's not happening because last year he had what was it
$399 last year.
Yeah,
you have to think it'll probably be anywhere from probably
it's gonna be a lot less because Max Stassi is playing more often.
You're probably looking on the conservative side of things. You're probably looking at 350 play appearances probably. And don't forget he actually only appeared in 97 games
last year.
Yeah,
yeah, mm-hmm. But he did miss that. I want to say it was a no. He missed that one time where Centeno came up, and the concussion. I think it was.
I think it was. Yeah, that's right. Because both he and Gattis have concussions. Like then about a couple weeks of each other.
And so I don't remember who we had catching, but yeah. I think the plan this year was anyway not to have him catch that much, so he'll be more rested. Down stretch, but
yeah,
he looks good. Max Stassi looks good. Mm-hmm. Catching is not a problem for now.
Hallelujah.
But JT Realmuto will be available at some point this year if needed. But I just don't think the Astros need a catcher at this moment.
No.
Now, if they're looking for 2019, yes, because McCann will likely not.
He'll probably ride off into the sunset.
You think he'll retire?
He may. He's been around for a while. He is 34 years old. So he may stick around.
I think the Astros may sign him for
two years,
maybe $10 million a
year. You can tell he definitely enjoys being here. Right. Yeah, he definitely.
He's loosened up a little bit. When he first came up, he had something up his. Now he's joking around, and I think he even participated in the handshake thing today with Altuve.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, you can tell he enjoys. I think he just enjoys playing with these guys, and you know, it just kind of speaks also to just the atmosphere of the Astros clubhouse. You know, a lot of these young guys come up, fun atmosphere, they win, fun atmosphere. You know, so especially when you get on these older teams with veterans, kind of like, no offense to the Yankees, but the Yankees 3 or 4 years ago, it was a bunch of older guys on the decline, still decent, but you know, you can just tell they weren't having fun.
Right.
And that's a big thing in any job. It's like you got to have fun while you do it. So
all right. So let's talk about Ohtani before we move on from yesterday's game. Were you overly impressed?
In some instances, I was. I think.
Did you get a chance to watch it? I watched it.
I caught some of the highlights of it. Okay. I haven't had a chance to watch this whole performance yet. I'll probably do that this weekend, honestly.
Did you record it? Or?
MLB TV.
Okay.
Yeah, I can go back and rewatch any game I want. But yeah, it's the dang blackout restrictions. Anyway, but yeah, Ohtani, there's certain times I'm like, this guy's electric. But then there's times I'm like, okay, if that splitter's not working, he's kind of hittable. Like,
right.
It all really hinges on that splitter. And you also have to kind of question where his durability is, I think. Is he going to be a guy that can go more than five or six innings ever? And, you know, is kind of you have to start wondering, the book on Ohtani now is just kind of like, get him to that, you know, second, maybe starting going on third time through the order, is that when you can pounce on him and that type of deal?
Yeah, he threw 101 miles per hour to Reddick, I think, twice.
Yeah.
Something like that. And he's got the stuff. And I think they went out to the mound one time and they looked to see if his blister was bothering him. But he said no, or they told him to toughen up and just pitch. But
The Moises Alou treatment.
So I think that was the first time all year, not necessarily just with the Astros and Angels, but I think that's the first time that they've used up all the mound visits.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the language barrier was something to do with it.
Yeah, I think so too.
And also, they use a lot of mound visits just to get through that eighth inning, I think it was, where they had bases loaded and mm-hmm. one out and something like that.
Yeah, I'll be quite honest, that second game of the series could have went either way.
It
easily ends. Like, once again, they use Zach Cozart.
That's what we could say about Game 5 of the World Series, dude.
That's true.
That could have been a momentum changer if we didn't win that game. We didn't have the momentum going into Game 7. And Game 6. We got swept.
Either way.
I think we got shut out, right?
We lost 3-1.
Okay.
Springer's solo home run was
that's
the only
right,
reason.
That's right.
Yeah.
I knew that.
Yeah, but like, yeah, it's seriously one of those games where it's like, you know, momentum changes. You know, lose Game 5, you have to win 2 games in a row in Los Angeles.
Woo!
Woohoo!
Sorry, Eric Gordon just hit a long 3-pointer.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I'm glad the Astros were able to do something at Ohtani. And there was a lot of people there, obviously, just to watch Ohtani. It was just a different atmosphere there. You had some of those. They're not bells. It's like you put coins in a bottle and you shake it.
I know what you're talking about.
And so we saw some of those. And when Ohtani left, there was like a standing ovation, not from Astros fans. It was just all the people coming to watch him.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure he drew from Japan. I'm sure he drew from L.A. because they still want to watch every start. And so there's a lot of people who are not Astros fans.
Oh, don't forget that Houston's got a large Asian community, and they know who Ohtani is. So that's, I'll be honest, if I was a fan, I'd be like this dude looks good. I'm an Astros fan, but I'm like, I appreciate good ball players when I see them.
Yeah. So Ohtani, I think that once he gets more experience, I think he'll be a pretty good pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he'll be a Cy Young Award winner and an MVP ever, because he's not going to ever hit enough to really do it, but he could open the door to future players, and
mm-hmm.
maybe at some point the Astros may have to consider doing something like that with AJ Reed. Not on the same scale, but if he doesn't hit as well, you can have him as a reliever, but also have him as a pinch hitter.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just, I mean, not, that could be like with all these, in the last draft, I think we had a lot of two-way players. I can't remember their names.
One was Brandon McKay.
Yeah.
He's with the Rays. Poor Rays. I just have to say that. But anyway, AJ Reed would be an interesting experiment on that front. I paid good money to go see
Can you imagine a team without Brian McCann and Evan Gattis next year? And Marwin Gonzalez? And Dallas Keuchel?
That is tough. I will say this, though. I think the most likely...
Charlie Morton.
Oh, yeah. You better keep Charlie Morton, Jeff Luno. You better keep Charlie Morton.
But he sucked yesterday. He didn't even last, what, three innings, four innings?
Four innings, but his middle name is, he's literally Charlie F. Morton. I'm not getting rid of the guy.
I thought it was hilarious, though. I don't know if you saw it on TV, but when I was watching the game, they kept on getting Peacock up in the second inning.
Mm-hmm.
They kept on getting Peacock up, then he'd get in double play. Third inning, he'd get Peacock up, and then they'll hit in double play. Then fourth inning, same thing.
Yeah.
So I think I put it on Climbing Tiles Hill. I'm like, play on, Charlie, PFM.
Yeah, it's like one of those things. I'm sure Peacock was going like, all right, guys. Oh, he got all of it. Great. I guess I'll sit back down. He'd be like, well, guys, you know my arm's only got so many warm-up pitches before, you know, you're going to have to just scratch me at this point. But yeah, it was I can't really imagine this. Okay, this is going to sound – okay, I'm not sure how this is going to sound at all. But I do think the two
– You can talk to him at Cody underscore CTH.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, you can. And if you say something I disagree with, we'll have a constructive conversation. But anyway, I do think the two most likely Astros of that group you just mentioned that will be back next year is Brian McCann and Charlie Morton. I think those are –
Because they're the oldest.
oldest.
They want to chase another ring.
Yeah, chase another ring. And plus
– Yeah, they're both comfortable here.
Yeah.
Dallas Keuchel, I think, could probably be a don't yell at me, Astros fans, but he could probably be a star somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that Astros fans don't give him the respect. I just don't think Major League Baseball or just the, I guess, ESPN, they just don't really give him the credit and for what where he's come from. And
he won the 2015 Cy Young Award.
Right,
like that's kind of a big deal.
After how he started his career in 2013 and 2014, that was really impressive. And I remember when they said he wasn't opening day starter that year. It was Feldman, right?
2015 was it was Keuchel that year. I think they because
we had nobody else.
Yeah, well, he had that really a good 2014. Him and Q, that was kind of their
Yeah. So I'm thinking of 2014. Yeah.
Okay. Feldman started the first game of 2014.
Right.
And that's right because Bud Norris started 2013. Oh my gosh, we were terrible, weren't we?
Yeah. And when the heck did Preston Wilson start working for the Astros?
I know, right? I thought he burned that bridge
when
they got him like 12 years ago.
I know. He was on MLB Network, and then a few days later, he's with Julia.
I'm like, oh.
I guess he got fired or something,
or maybe the Astros came along and said, "Hey, well, you won't be an analyst for us. Here's money." So
I know he. I thought he was doing stuff for the Marlins as well. He was doing the MLB Network thing, but maybe that was just during off season. And
if I'm not mistaken, I thought he was like involved with the Cardinals in some sort of like shape or fashion, like you know, just a couple of years ago. Because
maybe he's giving us advice.
Just way is Hackgate 2.0. Like that'll be something.
Backgate. All right. So anyway, moving on. So today's game. What can you say when you need somebody to give you a W? You ask. Justin Verlander.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I didn't get to watch the game because I was at work, but from what I understand, he was in control for the first five innings?
Yeah.
No-hitter or something?
Yeah, I was at work, too, so I didn't get the pleasure of watching the game in full. But, yeah, from what I could gather, like, you know, in between meetings and whatever, he controlled the game, like seven innings, four hits, two runs, nine strikeouts. Of course, the home run again. You know, if he has any weakness, is he is prone to the occasional long ball. And, oh, my goodness, it was Albert Pujols. What the?
I know. So the first hit was in the fifth inning to freaking Zach Cozart, who wrote
Dang you, Zach Cozart.
And then
his .226 batting average.
Yeah, and then later on, geez, he had a lot of strikeouts. I'm just looking at the summary. Mike Trout and then Albert Pujols. So this is what happens in the seventh inning. We had Mike Trout was called out on strikes, and then Justin Upton grounds out to first baseman Marwin Gonzalez. And then we're like, okay, we got the old-timey Albert Pujols up, and he hits this freaking homer. Where'd it go? Let me look at it real quick.
Yeah. Another thing I just realized, too, is outside.
Oh, that was a cheapie. It was just barely over.
Ah. It wasn't like the moonshot. Let's see this. Verlander's like, I got this. That's a game five home run right there.
That's a line drive, right. It's barely cleared the wall.
Yeah, it just barely.
I don't know if I told you this, but yesterday I was at the game and Albert Pujols came up with the bases loaded, and I'm like, I'm gonna go to the bathroom now. I don't want to. It's just, I don't know if I have Brad Legitis. I just didn't really want to be there at the moment. And he ended up popping up to Marwin, I think. But that's not the point. It just, we have so many memories of him. And my wife the other day, she didn't even know that Pujols was still playing. She's like, what is he, 50? I'm like, well, he debuted in 2001.
Oh, did you hear, though? There was a Baseball America article, I think, either yesterday or Monday, and they essentially said, yeah, we think Pujols is like 2 years older than what he actually is. So he's like 30. They're saying he's actually 38. Oh, he's technically listed as 38 years old.
But he's probably 40.
But he's probably 40. You know, I didn't have a chance to read the article. I just saw it online a little bit, the title and stuff.
Does Pujols know that he's 40, or is it?
The comments I kind of read, they said it was kind of alluded to that. Kind of knew about it, but you know, at the same time too, I'm like,
well, that's what they do in the international league,
yeah.
Is to get drafted. They say they're 2 years younger, mm-hmm. so they seem more appealing.
But in Pujols' case, though, it wouldn't matter if he was 2 years older or not.
Yeah.
It would have been like you still go. Yeah,
would you agree?
Awesome.
We're gonna get off of Pujols in a second, but would you agree that he's a first ballot Hall of Famer?
Yeah, He is. I don't see how you can have him as a first ballot.
Yeah.
Yes, he's caused many hurts in my life, but you have to respect the game. You have to respect the game.
Yeah, I was talking to my friend Ed at the game yesterday, and he's like, you would think that Pujols has really crushed the Astros, but he only has like 240 batting average for his career. But I said it's the big hits he gets. The homers. And I think he's hit the most homers at Minute Park in his lifetime. And
yeah, I'm actually about to pull up some of these splits, but we won't stick on Pujols for long. But yeah, I know what you mean. Like it's the big hits. Let's see, career numbers. There we go. All right, let's see. If you hold on with me for just a second. Career batting average against the Astros. Okay, he's got a 288, 371, 520.
That's better than that.
Slash line, 891 OPS, but still not like even the best. Ironically, though, yeah, but you can thank the Angels and the Cardinals for this. He's faced the Astros more than any other team he's ever faced. Let's see, Minute Maid Park, shall we? Minute Maid. Yeah, 273, 350, 495, 845 OPS, but he has 30 home runs at Minute Maid Park. 30 flipping home runs.
Apparently, Lance McCullers is at the Rockets game right now, and he's wearing his World Series ring around his neck.
Is it weighing down his neck, or is he, like, hunched over?
Oh, no, he's not there. I think he's just watching. He's just saying.
Oh.
Okay, yeah, it looks like there's a pool table in the background.
Oh, he's probably, chilling at his probably chilling.
Oh, yeah, there looks like Dallas Keuchel in the background. So, yeah, they're chilling at somebody's pad. Anyway, so, all right, so let's get back to the Astros. We have day off tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I think not that the bullpen has been overtaxed, but it'll be good to have day off.
Oh, days off always feel nice.
Okay, so we're going to be facing the Athletics. The Athletics are better than we think they are. They have a great offense. Their pitching is aight.
Mm-hmm.
I know Sean Manea threw that no-hitter the other day, but the Athletics are 13-11 on the season.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody except for the freaking Rangers in the West are above 500.
Oh, yeah, the AL West, you know, as much crap as we like to give some of the other teams, the Angels are a good team. The Mariners aren't that bad.
Don't say they're a good team.
Yeah, and the Athletics are a team on the rise. Because Oakland has the highest F war of any offense in baseball so far, 6.2 wins. They also have the second highest WRC plus of 124, only trailing the Yankees at 126. Their offense is for real. And somehow Jed Lowry has an OPS over 1,000, he's got like a 1.067 OPS. Like, you know, what Jed Lowry, the guy just hits. I'm sorry. He just hits. But yeah, the Athletics are actually pretty decent. If they ever get some decent pitching, you know, that'll be something. That'll be good for them. They probably still wish they were like, oh, maybe we should hang on to Sonny Gray now. So, but anyway.
No, Sonny Gray is not Sonny Gray anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, I think
not so Sonny anymore.
He pitched okay today, but Sonny, I'm glad we didn't go for. I know my Jeremy Booth from Talking Strohs was a really big Sonny Gray guy, and maybe if he came here, he would have been kind of like a Garrett Cole type.
Yeah.
But I'm glad we didn't. I'm glad we didn't get Yu Darvish. Because if we would have got Yu Darvish or Sonny Gray, we would not have gone after Justin Verlander. And Justin Verlander was the best thing that could happen for the Astros. And we see exactly what he's doing. Remember how bad he started last year? That's because he was playing for a team that they knew sucked.
No motivation. It's like, you know, very little motivation. It's like he knew the Tigers weren't going to really compete. So,
and they knew that they probably couldn't trade him because of his high contract.
Yeah.
And,
well, it was telling when nobody claimed him off waivers, and the Rockets got to start doing something.
It's early, and they typically come back in the fourth quarter. There you go. Eric Gordon again?
I think
Tucker.
Yeah, it was Tucker.
All right. Yeah, not Kyle Tucker. Speaking of which, not Kyle Tucker. So, I wanted to talk about that earlier. Let's talk about left field. We did have Derek Fisher get his first homer yesterday, and it was not a cheapie. It wasn't Albert Pujols cheapie. It was right by the Ivy Wall, straight center, and it was a blast. And
it was.
So I'm not giving him a pass. I mean, I'm not going to give him a total pass because of that homer, but that maybe he's on the right track. And then the next bat, he did a drag bunt, which was classic. And the way he did it, it was just awesome as well, and seems like we're having mic issues. So it just seems like it keeps on going in and out, but oh well.
Huh. Real quick though, just on left field, Astros left field as a team, 104 WRC+. They're roughly, you know, that's a little bit above average. They're roughly middle of the pack. If you want to do any comparisons, think about this: Angels WRC+ from left field 102, Mariners 101, Yankees. Yes, the almighty Yankees. 99 WRC+, good for 15th in baseball, all their left fielders combined. So, yeah, Astros could be doing better in left field, but it's not exactly, oh my gosh, what a black hole. It's okay. It could be better, but, you know, You're not the Colorado Rockies, who all their left fielders combined have a 33 WRC+.
Well, they brought up Dahl, and Gonzalez is on the DL, but I think he plays right field, though. But.
Yeah, it's like one of those things where you just kind of like, well, in the Cardinals, the almighty Cardinals who turn out major league players out of nothingness, 49 WRC+ for left fielder. So, you know, it's all relative, but, you know, you know, the left field situation could be better, but at the same time, too, it's not like, you know, it's not like, what would be a good example? It's not like how first base was for us for like 7 years.
Don't bring up Brett Wallace and Carlos.
Jesus Guzman.
Yeah.
Who's that one Mexican league player we signed?
The big fat dude.
He never made it. He only appeared like in two spring training games, but I remember they were kind of bragging about, like, well, he can hit down there. It's like, yeah, but he's like 350 pounds. I'm not sure how this is going to work. And sure enough, it didn't.
All right. So I know a lot of people are calling for Kyle Tucker. And Kyle Tucker will be, I think, the more the outfielders struggle, he will be up here at some point here.
Oh, yes.
But if you look at his at-bats right now, in 74 at-bats, he only has one homer, 9 RBIs. He does have two stolen bases.
Mm-hmm.
He has struck out 16 times. He has a 270 batting average, 752 OPS. Not bad, but it's not screaming Carlos Correa or George Springer or Alex Bregman. Mm-hmm. Call me up. I'm ready.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you're like, you would like to see him get, and this is a big reason why they sent him to AAA. Because, you know, a lot of people after spring training was like hollering for him, like, put him on the team now. He's obviously ready. Spring training doesn't really mean jack. You know, I'm not saying there could be breakouts in spring training. It's happened before. But you know, this is the reason you send him to Fresno. Don't forget, He's only 20. He just turned 21 years old about a little over 3 months ago. This isn't like he's a 24-year-old prospect. You're just like, oh, is he finally going to come up now? It's like, you know, give him time. He solid numbers in AAA, but, you know, like I said, you just got to give him time.
You know, who's heating up in the minors is Yordan Alvarez. He hit his fourth homer tonight. Mm-hmm. He's batting, what is it, 277 with 900 OPS. And he's got 18 RBIs already. Mm-hmm. And they just started their season like a week and a half ago or something.
Well, and that's like Miles Straw for the Hooks.
He's not batting 400 anymore.
No, 393, still quite good. 998 OPS, still quite good. He's not going to have much power. He has zero home runs on the season.
Actually, he's 0-for-2 with 2 strikeouts today, so he's down to 375.
But he's not going to have much power, but, you know, he's started off really strong. You know, there's been a couple of guys that have been worth that been pretty good.
All righty. It appears we have a phone call.
Yay!
All right. So are you on?
Good evening.
How you doing? What's your name?
This is Lou from Jersey, your friendly neighborhood podcaster.
Oh, hey, what's up, Lou?
What's going on?
All right, signing up with the show here. I was kind of surprised because when in spring training, you know, Otani had a miserable outing, but you are right. Spring training doesn't really mean a thing. It doesn't predict how your season's going to go. A lot of people think that it's not true, though. But I kind of thought, but I wasn't really expecting to improve this much over the lousy spring training that he had.
Yeah, especially with the bat, because I remember with the bat, he was like striking out left and right. But I think with the bat, you're going to see him be more of a streaky hitter. Like he had those three-game stretch where he hit three homers in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Because
right.
He's only playing, three games offensively a week.
Something
and
like
it's
that.
Hard to get
momentum
going.
How is he allowed, though, to both pitch and bat? And he's in the American League because generally you don't do that in the American League. So why is he getting away with this?
Well, it's not like at the same time. So, like, if he's pitching, he's not going to go ahead and hit that game unless they're playing in the National League Park and he'll have to. But, because that would be against the rules because you couldn't
right.
That would just be too confusing, and they would have to sacrifice a DH on that game. And
yeah, they wouldn't. Go ahead.
Yeah, because generally, you know, in the American League, you know, pitchers, you don't pitch, you know, and bat.
Right.
No, and that's kind of the thing with Otani.
They made the exception in his case.
Well, he's supposed to be that two-way star, and that's what they're trying to – I'm not saying they're trying to create this type of player, but we haven't had this player since Babe Ruth. And so they're going to see if this if this will fly.
72, really.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just going to be – like Otani was kind of bragged about all offseason as the Japanese Babe Ruth, this two-way phenom.
Yeah.
And teams – That was kind of the thing when he talked to different teams was he wanted to see what their plans were for him. Some teams I think were more sold on him as a pitcher than a hitter or other way around. It just there's some interesting articles from a few national writers throughout the offseason that had some good insight on that. But the Angels were about, I think they were one of the handful of teams that were kind of like, this is our legit plan. We're willing to go to the six-man rotation, which a lot of teams I don't think were willing to do. And then along with the
Astros, definitely not with Verlander and Keuchel, and you need them going every fifth day.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Some teams I think they were kind of balking at that, kind of going, well, we can't really upset our guys who have been here for a while versus a guy, for as talented as Otani is, they're kind of like, we can't really put the rest of the team, we can't put Otani before the rest of the team just because we want to sign him.
All right, so we got about 3 minutes left in the show. You got any comments about the Astros and how they look this year? Or
Astros, I'd say Astros have come around. I don't see really putting the nail in the coffin right now. I mean, some are predicting a rematch of the American League Championship. Well, we'll see.
All right.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
All right. Well, thanks for your call, Lou.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
All right, so, yeah, I wish that it notified me when, or it beeped or something, because I don't know how long he was on hold.
Yeah, we apologize,
because I was going back and forth looking at stats and everything, and then I happened to look.
Lou, if you're still listening, we apologize if you had a long wait or anything. We're just still trying to get used to some of the software on that.
Anyway, so we're playing Athletics, and then the Yankees are coming in for 4 games, right?
I believe so, yes.
Because I know they have Thursday game, and so this is the first batch of good teams we've really faced. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know the Mariners are kind of iffy, but they're the only teams we faced before the Angels, who had a record above 500.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew this would be a tough stretch. To get one game versus Angels is kind of disappointing. But, we do play 4 games starting on Monday.
Against the Yankees, then then they go back on the road for a while.
Yeah, I think I only have tickets one of those games. But anyway, I'm going to enjoy the crap out of that one game I'm going to, because it's not that often you get to go to see the Yankees play. So
exactly.
Anyway, so I think the Astros are going to take care of business in Oakland. I don't care how good their offense is. I think the Astros pitching is that much better.
Mm-hmm.
I know Charlie Morton's. I know he's probably not going to face them, but I know we had Gerrit Cole and Charlie Morton look kind of human.
Yeah.
But I still think this rotation is good enough to really get to just sweep the A's. The Yankees, that's going to be a good test on the Astros pitching.
I'll be quite honest. I'll be pleased with a 2-2 split in that series.
So the good news is we will start off. No, we won't. I was going to say we're going to start off with Verlander on the mound, but he pitched today.
Yeah.
So we're going to start off with it would be Morton.
Yeah.
So that's kind of poetic.
Yeah, it definitely is.
Anyway, guys, you've been listening to the CTH podcast with Eric and Cody. Go ahead and go to Climbing Taos Hill, and let's keep on talking some Astros baseball.
Go Astros.